News with Nick, December 2nd, 2020. It's 7 p.m. It's been a few weeks since we did our last update, which was a huge show. Time flies these days when the Candyman is stalking you on social media. We'll get to that. Fun stuff going on. How do I turn this off? Oops, wrong image. I don't know what's going on anymore. Newswithnick.com is the website. Go over there and watch the video version of the show where you can see the browser going on and everything that I'm clicking on while I read it, so that if I don't read it well, you can just follow along in the thing. Wow, I didn't have time to set this stuff up. All right, cool. All right, I think we're good. At newswithnick.com, please be sure to go to the top right of the website and type in your phone number. You will get a text when there's going to be a live show, and that will keep you up to date with the live shows and making sure that you're checking your feed and getting the latest shows, or you can subscribe using your favorite podcasting app. I don't have a paid content section, so there's no newswithnick.com/VIP where you can send money. You actually can't even send me, like, there's no donate on the thing. So if you want to donate, all you do is you go to the Contact Us page and you just send me nice compliments. And you just say, you're doing a great job. Everything you do is the most important work that could possibly exist. Screw the media. And you're the best. Just keep doing what you're doing. And I'll just keep, the more compliments I get, the more I want to do a show, because then people, like, it feels like people are listening. I'm really sure they're not. All right, let's get into the news. We got a lot to cover, some stories, some updates. Found this photo today. It's from Texas A&M. The band members are all wearing masks, except they're playing their instruments. So they had to cut a hole in the mask to shove their instrument through the mask and then blow into their instrument. Some of them reed instruments, which to carry a lot of spittle. And then they play in the band, but they wear masks with a hole. At first I saw this, I was like, this has to be a joke. This is like an SNL image, right? Where they're just making fun of masks and everyone who's wearing them. No, this is real. The band is really wearing a mask and then they're blowing into an instrument. And if you've ever played in a band, there is no object on earth that is more covered in spit than the inside of an instrument. They always told you, after you're done playing your clarinet, you've got to take it apart and you've got to shove this rod with a cloth through every piece of it. There were like four pieces so that you get all the spit out. If you don't do that, your clarinet will be moldy and rotten on the inside. And so I did that about twice. And I was like, that is disgusting. I'm not doing that. So I just put the clarinet back in the box every time I was done playing. There's no person more disgusting than a trombone player. They are holding in their hand a tube full of saliva. And they're like, listen to me make a tube of saliva come out and then make noise into your ears. Anyway, if these people had the COVID, wouldn't being in a band be the most dangerous possible thing? You're literally hearing the virus come at you. They're blowing it straight at you. I don't know. Someone going to say like, oh, but it's covering their nose at least. So that's the most important part or something. I don't know. Because people get all mad if you're not covering your nose. It does nothing if you're not covering your nose. Which that doesn't make any sense either. My mouth is way bigger than my nose. And if we're trying to reduce breathing, it's not like it does nothing, right? It has to do something if I just cover my mouth and not my nose. I don't know. What if I just wear a snorkel?
Now, more than ever, in the face of so much division, what this country needs is somebody who can unite us. Somebody who can navigate these unprecedented times and help guide the restless minds of academia of New England.
Well, by no stretch of my imagination do I believe you've all come here to hear me lecture, or rather to ascertain the identity of the mystery math magician. So without further ado, come forward, silent rogue, and receive thy prize.
Finally, there's a voice in media so pure and true that it can ease the fighting in the battleground state of Pennsylvania.
We have made America safe again, and we will make America great again. Thank you very much, Pennsylvania. Go out and vote. Go out and vote. Thank you, Pennsylvania. Thank you.
In the face of this new normal stands one man whose thoughts are so clear they can cut through the flaming hellscape that is California and put some bright red lipstick on a man's cold black heart.
No justice, no peace. We no justice, no peace. No justice, no peace.
No justice, no peace.
That man is Nick Ryder, a son, a friend, a lover, a leader, but most importantly, a winner.
Well, that's the new News with Nick intro that Andrew made for me. That was the first time I'd ever heard that. I forgot to play it for the last show, so there it is. Here it is for this show. Yeah, I guess that'll go at the beginning of every show from now on. Thank you for making that. That sounded like it took forever. And first I was like, is it going to be Trump, the uniter? But no, it's the man. The man himself. Me, I guess. Oh, I've got a huge update. So two shows ago, I'd done a really long story about how I biked down to this dump truck scene, and I thought that there was a man's head shoved up under a dump truck. And I was like, where's the body? Where's the man? Where's Devin? And I couldn't find, I thought, like, did he die under the dump truck? And this is a huge cover-up? Because the news said he was taken away and that he still survived and that he went to the hospital. I was like, there's no way. The dump truck crushed him, from what I was hearing. Well, I've got an update. I was able to finally find some news on Devin. I don't know why the girl on Facebook that I was trying to contact couldn't send this to me. He's alive! Because he's got a GoFundMe. Help for Devin Giles and family. On October 19th, Devin Giles fell off his bike and became trapped under the wheels of a dump truck. He sustained serious injuries to his lower body and spine, which has left him paralyzed from the waist down. I should not be like reading this with such like upbeat attitude. Like, this is very sad, right? Devin has a long journey ahead of him. This fundraiser is to help him get the best medical care possible and also to help his family set up his future in home care. At this point, his spinal specialists have very little hope for his recovery. He is only 20 and has his entire life ahead of him. Any help you can give toward their family would be very much appreciated. So there he is. He's apparently still alive, according to the GoFundMe. So he did survive, and apparently the news was not fake news, and his head was not shoved under a dump truck. That was me just mishearing the police. And not understanding what was going on. So he's raised $695 in about, I don't know, 5 weeks. So a lot of support, I guess, coming out. All right. A few weeks ago, we had this election, right? That went on. Trump was winning, and then Trump was losing. And Trump, it looks like, has lost the election. But what's happened since then has been very crazy. He has basically, even though he's said, okay, fine, we're going to move forward with all the procedures to let Biden take over soon. And at first, he wasn't even doing that. But I hear that Trump has instructed his people, I don't know what the term is, to say, okay, yeah, start giving Biden the stuff that you would normally give a new president. But that hasn't stopped Trump from continuing to say, I think the election is fake and there were a ton of fake votes and I clearly won, which to me is a little bit insane that we are in a country where the top guy, right, he's the boss, allegedly, is saying, no, the elections of my own country are a fraud. And that's very scary because what would the top guy believes that the elections are a fraud, what's he going to do? Is he going to be like, nope, 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 it was definitely fake, and the military police surround the White House, and on the day of the inauguration, Joe is not allowed in. Please protect me. I'm the boss of the military, and you have to. Do they have to? I mean, obviously, the commanders could be like, no, we're not doing it. But then what? I don't know. I guess then they just wouldn't do it. But if the president says the military has to do something, don't they have to? I thought that was the rule. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. So he goes on Twitter, and he's literally tweeting stuff like, I won the election. Stuff that's literally the opposite of what happened. But I don't know. So part of me that just thinks that he's just keeping doing it, because Trump's persona for the past 6 years or 5 years or whatever has been never admit that you're wrong, never admit defeat, even when he like slipped on a ramp or something. He was like, that ramp was very slippery. It was the ramp's fault. It was not my fault. Or I don't think he's ever admitted one time that I can think of that he was like, oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Has he ever said sorry? Dunno, right? And I think that he thinks that his supporters are expecting this. So secretly, is he like, I'm so done with this. I'm ready to have lost. I'm actually happy I lost. But his front has to be like, no, no, no. We're never giving up no matter what, right? It's kind of like if you're going for like, say you're trying to win a candy factory, right? And you don't really want to run a candy factory. That sounds like a lot of work. You got to move to Florida, move everything, learn to make candy, get a candy factory, and then run it. That sounds like a lot of work. I'm not sure you really want to run the candy factory, but you really want to win the candy factory, right? You really want to be the president. You just don't want to be the president. Oh, boy. Although I do wish that, you know, the worst thing that Trump did during his presidency was keeping skipping the correspondence dinners. This thing that used to be a tradition that the president would do like a 20-minute stand-up routine, and he'd make fun of himself a little bit, or he'd make fun of his detractor. He'd just make fun of people, and it was written by like stand-up comic writers, and they'd hand off the script and be like, here are your jokes for the night. And Obama would go up there and say, oh, here's a video from my birth. Play it. Bing-bong, bing-bong, Simba. That's how that song went, right? And he played the Lion King opening to Obama saying, here's the video of my birth. Or George W. Bush, when he was like, look, there's a picture of him like looking under a bed or something. I don't remember exactly. And he was like, ugh. These weapons of mass destruction must be here somewhere, right? That's a really kind of a weird joke to make. Like, you sent thousands of people to die in Iraq over weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist, but here's a joke at the correspondence dinner. Anyway, I wish that Trump had done those, but if nothing else, I wish that, like, on his way out, he would do one sketch or whatever where he just, like, does all of the things that he's been accused of doing. Like, he could be on the phone with Putin, being like, oh yeah, we're going to rig the election? Okay, Putin, I'm ready to rig the election. Or he's making out with Kim Jong-un, because people didn't like that he was friendly with that guy. I hope that Trump shows up at, like, there would be a sketch of him, like, showing up at the Special Olympics and making fun of all, you're so slow, because of when he was accused of making fun of a disabled person. He could grab kids. He could walk down the street. He could grab kids and he could throw them in cages or something like that. That'd be so funny. He's not going to do that. In fact, word's coming out today. Maybe he's going to run in 2024. I think we're all expecting it. Who knows what will happen? Anyway, he's lost the election. But there's still all these rallies all over the place. This is very quiet audio, but tons of people are just waving their Trump 2020 flags. check the vote, fact check the vote. So what Trump has done, while not conceding the election, has basically built up a following of, I don't know, 42% of the population. What's the population that voted for Trump? 30%? Not the percentage of voters, just the percentage of people, because a lot of people didn't vote.
Hello, family.
I don't know, quite a few people in the country that are like, nope, the president's not legitimate, the new president's not legitimate, and Trump should have won. And that's kind of scary when you think about that. You're breeding a whole subset of people that don't accept the election and might, I don't know, what could they do if they don't believe the election? But then you kind of think, like, didn't this happen in 2000 as well, where people were like, Al Gore should have won the election over Bush. And they were mad about that, too. And it happened in 2016, where people were obviously mad that Hillary didn't win because they thought the Russians stole it for Trump. And we haven't had a civil war yet. So I'm kind of hoping that we're just all scared for nothing. I would prefer there not to be a civil war. I mean, it'd be kind of fun, but for the most part, it'd just be annoying. Like, if we think stay at home is annoying now, imagine if there's a civil war. Like, which side are you on? We can only go to the stores that support our side. Although, I can dress pretty well the other way, so it's okay. Here's a headline that's getting some weird coverage. Biden picks an all-female communications team. Sticking to his promise to put together a diverse cabinet, he said Sunday he was hiring an all-female communications staff. I didn't even realize until I just read that this moment that that's a pretty funny way of saying diverse. So anyway, he puts together an all-female communications team, whatever that means. And then I click on over to another article, and they say, no, Trump already has one. Fact check. In a tweet announcing a new senior members of the White House staff, the Biden-Harris presidential transition Twitter account described how, for the first time in history, these communications roles will be filled entirely by women. Blah, blah, blah. But Kayleigh McEnany, White House press secretary for Donald Trump, dismissed the reports that this was a historic move, tweeting that Trump already has an all-female senior White House press team, as does President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, and Second Lady Karen Pence. And then I was like, how can this possibly be debated? Shouldn't these positions be very clearly defined? And can't you just look at them and say, is it all female or is it not all female? This is such a weird and pointless thing to lie about. George Conway, husband of former senior White House advisor Kellyanne Conway, was one of those to dispute the claim. So anyway, whether or not this is true about the all-female staff members for Trump and Pence team depends on what she characterized as senior in her original tweet. It is true that Trump has several high-ranking female members of his White House press team, with the press secretary being the top. Trump's current communications director is Alyssa Farah. Melania Trump's chief of staff and press secretary is Stephanie. Karen Pence's director of communications is Kara. So there are several. And then apparently if you just look down the list, there's a man or two in a position that may or may not be senior. So it was a very interesting thing that Biden wanted to say, first time ever we did this thing. And it's like, but Trump either has already done it or has done it 90% of the way, and we never even heard about that. So whatever. I guess that's cool. It's just a weird headline. This is a very boring show so far. We gotta skip ahead. Oh, here was one thing. Trump actually posted this today. This is him. He's still on this. So this stuff is not weeks old. This Trump going, the election is a fraud stuff. This is 3 hours old.
The most important speech I've ever made. I want to provide an update on our ongoing efforts to expose the tremendous voter fraud and irregularities which took place during the ridiculously long November 3rd elections. We used to have what was called Election Day. Now we have election days, weeks, and months, and lots of bad things happened during this ridiculous period of time, especially when
ridiculous.
You have to prove almost nothing
multiple
to
times.
Exercise our greatest privilege, the right to vote. As president, I have no higher duty than to defend the laws and the Constitution of the United States. That is why I am determined to protect our election system, which is now under coordinated assault and siege. For months leading up to the presidential election, we were warned that we should not declare a premature victory. We were told repeatedly
skipping
that and perhaps they did, very sadly for our country. It was all very, very strange. Within days after the election, we witnessed an orchestrated effort to anoint a winner, even while many key states were still being counted. The constitutional process must be allowed to continue.
Okay. So Trump keeps going on and on about this election being fake, but he's not alone, right? He did not write this speech, I don't think. I'm not saying he doesn't have the ability to write, but most likely someone helped him write the speech. So there's someone else going, all right, Trump, we'll write down the election was very ridiculous. It was ridiculously long, and there must have been some ridiculous fraud going on. Now, do I think that there's probably fraud in the election? Yeah. I mean, what's the alternative? That there's 200 million votes or 150 million votes or whatever, and every single vote of those 150 million is correct and legitimate? I don't think so. But the question is whether or not fraud is enough to turn the election one way or the other, which I don't know. But and there's no way for me to know one way or the other. And it's a good point. Like, I could go vote and 100 other people could go vote, and we give those 101 votes to two people who go to a room and they count them, and then they come out of the room and they say, it was one person versus the other, right? And we would never be able to prove one way or the other what happened. But, I mean, our choices are like, trust it or don't, and I don't know how to make the choice. But the default is just to be like, well, it's going to happen. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. We can't change it. So we might as well assume that it's mostly right. And was it right in 2016? Who knows? But everyone was like, Hillary didn't challenge it for months and months. So it may have been just as bad in 2016, but Trump didn't go on for months going, we better double check to see if I won. I wouldn't want the election to be fraudulent. I think we should probably hold off and double check. No, no, no. He was on the air at 2 a.m. the next day going, I won the election. That's pretty cool, huh? Right? So I don't know. It's also annoying. But Biden will be president, and that'll be pretty funny, too. My house, my water heater. Several weeks ago, I showed you guys a video where I would turn on the hot water and it would sputter and air would come out. And I contacted the water heater company and they're like, we don't know what it is. They came out, they adjusted things two additional times. Every time I would come back home and the same exact thing would happen. I was like, this did not happen in the old system. It happened after you put in a new water heater. WTH. And then I finally started Googling, and it took me a while. Like, I was just getting the default responses on Google, like, oh, if you have air on your water heater, you have to just bleed the lines and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, they can't be that. It's worse than that. Something happened when they changed the water heater. What could be failing? I finally found some threads on the internet that were like, oh, yeah, this particular brand of water heater is having problems right now. They're shipping out bad anode rods. And I finally wrote to the water heater company. I was like, bad anode rods. And they're like, we'll check. That was like a month ago. They're finally coming tomorrow, apparently, to replace the rod. And maybe I will have hot water heater that works, right? Amazing. So there's the update on that. I know you guys are all very concerned about the water heater updates. All right, how long we've been going? Wow, way too long. This show is taking forever. Is there anyone still listening? This is very boring. No, there's not. No. No, there's a good audience. Thanks for coming out. Okay. After the last show, we did the hour and a half long episode where we talked to Tom about finding the gold ticket in New Hampshire. And we became famous. We are one of the gold ticket Candyman gold ticket hunt finders. After in September, I covered the story on the show. I read it on CNN. I went to their website before it was even updated to this website. And then I went to their YouTube and they were live and we watched them live on the show. And I was like, this is crazy. It's the Candyman and his assistant, Stephanie. And I said something along the lines of, man, he's a little older. I wonder if he'll even make it to the end of the Candyman factory hunt. Anyway, so that was embarrassing because, like, oh my God, what if he hears that now? Because we're the winners now, and we're one of the only 50 winners that they're going to have. It's basically Hunger Games, like, out of, I don't know, 25,000 people, 25,000 teams, we're one of the winners, and I now have to be the face of the winner. Anyway, so handled that, and we got our forms, got our money, handwritten check, by the way, of course, and I don't know why I expected anything else. For some reason, I expected a check from, like, a bank. No, handwritten check. Here's your $5,000 for finding the gold ticket. That's cool. Anyway, Tom did most of the talking to the Candyman, but he mentioned the show. Right? Great. And then the Candyman, David, was like, news with Nick? I should be on that. I wonder if I could get him on that. So I didn't think of anything of that, right? And then the next day, he calls me while I'm at work. I don't answer because I don't get service in the building, but I leave the building and I have a voicemail. I'm like, it's probably nothing. It's probably a scammer. I listen to the voicemail. It's like, hey, it's the Candyman. Call me back. I was like, oh my goodness. That's crazy. The Candyman is now calling me. And then later on the same night, he and Stephanie went live and they actually talked about having heard the show that Tom had mentioned. I think I'd linked them to it or something. Anyway, he'd found the site and he'd gone back to the original September episode.
That I wanted to interview me, a writer, Ricky?
Nick?
Nick.
Nick Ryder?
Nick Ryder, if you're listening.
He thinks my name is Ricky.
Nick Ryder did a radio pop. What is it called? Glorious Coconut.
We did a 1.5 podcast last night. Oh, a new Oh, that's so. That's Nick. That's Nick.
That's Nick.
Nick Ryder.
I've been leaving you messages all day. Get your answer your phone, please. Nick has a great sense of humor.
Yeah. Nick, you're in trouble. I'm just saying.
No, he does. I mean, he does. He doesn't even realize what kind
you're
of
in trouble,
great
Nick.
Sense of humor.
You gotta tell him what he said.
I was the pit of some of his humor, and then he goes winning $5,000.
That's kind of funny.
How would he
not
like,
funny? But
how
funny.
Would he like any little pinholes on the bottom of his check there, so it won't be able to go through the system? See how he finds that
thing. How the checking system works?
How do you know that's Nick?
Because he said New Hampshire Hunt. And he's the one with the podcast.
Oh, yeah. They're talking that I was in the chat, actually. I prodded them. I remember what happened. I prodded them to talk about me again because he was about to talk about the show. And then Stephanie interrupted him with something else. So I prodded the chat. And they're really good at responding to people in the chat. They're really interactive. So I was like, I'll mention the show again and we'll get him to talk about it. But I didn't realize that he'd already heard it. So at this point, I'm listening to the live stream and they're like, you're in trouble. I'm like, uh-oh, he did hear that.
This is with Nick.
He was talking about the
treasure hunt
before he even searched.
When he first heard about it.
And he either bought it on the air or said some...
I think he said that.
He said did. Some remarks on me, which, okay, fine.
No longer be around.
That I would no longer be around because of my age. Thank you, Nick. I'm still around.
Yes.
That I would not be around to give the factory away. Thanks for the good words. Sandy, you on
but
a
he
mission
asked for
to
the
find,
otherwise, right?
I actually laughed at it.
I did laugh.
I found that funny.
Okay, great. Perfect. So I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm so sorry I said something mean. How was I supposed to know? I thought we were just reading a story, and now the Candyman is the number one fan of the show, apparently. And I get all scared because I'm like, is he gonna get me? The Candyman is an urban legend that tells the scary story of a murdered slave who returns from the dead in search of revenge if you say his name five times. A horror movie was made in 1992 by the legend, followed by two sequels. Read the story and find out how to play the Candyman challenge. According to the legend, if you look into a mirror and chant the name Candyman five times, he will appear behind you and kill you with his hook. For you see, the Candyman is a vicious killer with a bloody hook for a hand. He appears from the mirror, covered in blood and bees, and has nothing but murder on his mind. They say that many years ago, the Candyman was a real man. Back in the days of slavery, Candyman was a black slave named Daniel Robitaille, who worked on a plantation in New Orleans. He was a talented painter and chosen by the plantation owner to paint a portrait of his daughter. But Daniel fell in love with the daughter of the white plantation owner. When the racist plantation owner discovered that his daughter and the slave were in love, he raised an angry mob and chased Daniel out of town. Armed with pitchforks and a pack of dogs, they chased the poor slave across fields and streams. Finally, they caught up with the exhausted slave near an old barn. The evil men seized Daniel and cut off his right hand with a rusty saw. Then they covered him in honey and threw him into a beehive. The unfortunate Candyman was in terrible pain and died from his injuries, but not before he cursed the men who killed him and vowed to return and exact revenge. They say his spirit would never rest, and now with his ghost walks the world for all eternity, appearing when his name is called five times.
Name five times while looking in the mirror. He appears in the reflection and kills you.
Who would do that?
Candyman. 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 Candyman.
Well, we're still alive.
That's a Candyman trailer 2020. Didn't even realize that was a movie coming out. Anyway, I was a kid, and I was hearing the story of Candyman at daycare. And one of the kids in the group said, yeah, I would never say that in the mirror five times. And then he said, one of my friends caught his sister sitting in the bathroom, staring at the mirror, saying, man candy, man candy, man candy, over and over. Luckily, he caught her, and luckily, she had the name reversed to man candy. And I was like, and as a kid, I was like, huh, I wonder if it still counts, because the end of man candy and the start of man candy actually is Candyman. So I wonder if he would appear if you said that six times, because that would equal five Candymans. I don't know. I'm too scared to try it, though, so we're not going to try it. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, the Candyman is like our number one fan. That's great. And I didn't get around to like calling him, right? I don't know. What am I going to say? Like, what am I going to do? Schedule him for the show? By the way, if you want to be on the show, let me know. Call in and we'll schedule it. So the next day I'm running, going for a run. And I get off my run and I check my phone. And I have a Facebook request message from someone. It says, it's the Candyman. Have time for a call? And I go, oh my God, of course. Of course, Candyman. And I call him and we talk. It was amazing. So, but I answer the call and he says, hello, it's the Candyman. I'm still alive. Funniest intro ever. I'm like, I'm so sorry for having said that. And then he said something like, he said, I've listened to your show. It's so funny. And I agree with you about people's cars at the dollar store and the condition they're in. It's not a coincidence. He has listened to every show, possibly. He's our number one fan. And I sent him the link to the hour and a half show I did with Tom, and he posted it to the Facebook. And people were watching it and commenting on here being able to hear an hour and a half long search. I interviewed him for a bit. I asked him about how he moved from California to Florida. He said he hated California because of their business regulations. I asked him, does he want to get a real streaming crew for his house? Because, you know, they do the thing where they just open their MacBook and they talk into the camera that's built into the top of it. And they go, we're live. And I go, you know, you could get like a real setup, like a real camera and some lighting and like a makeup person. And he's like, no, we like it the way it is. I'm like, perfect. Great. So anyway, I was able to hang out with the Candyman on the phone. And now, again, we're best friends. So later on that same night, they go live again. I'm like, will they talk about us?
The guy that won the contest for New Hampshire. I talked to him. What's his name?
By the way, he loves me so much. He thinks my name is Ricky, and then he forgot it the second time, even after messaging me on Facebook and talking. So if we're going to make fun of each other here, I think I've said fewer offensive things than my name having been forgotten at least two times, probably more than that.
Oh, I talked to the guy that won the contest for New Hampshire. I talked to him. What's his name?
Nick Ryder. What Nick a name. Ryder. That should be like, that's got to be like a Western name.
Every time I hear that, I think of C.C. Ryder.
Hey, Nick Ryder.
C.C. Ryder. Now, he talked about me, so I figure I can talk about him.
Oh, interesting. What do you know about Nick Ryder?
A fascinating guy.
I think of the
great sense of humor.
The BB gun. The Red Ryder.
Red Ryder.
Yeah.
Red Ryder. I just posted over an hour and a half in detail that his treasure hunt guy did on the hunt for New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
So you might find it interesting. It's on Facebook, our Facebook.
Tom in the chat says they love saying your name. Well, who doesn't, right? Everyone. That's the Candyman update. Maybe he'll comment again on this show. Don't know. Again, if he could be listening right now. Comment in the chat if you're listening. Candyman, please. All right, moving on. Going to do some current events, I guess. Moderna to request emergency authorization of coronavirus vaccine. New data shows the vaccine is 94.1% effective in a phase 3 study, whatever that means. That must be a very, very funny study. Get it? Massachusetts-based biotech company Moderna says it will request an emergency use authorization from the Food and Drug Administration for its coronavirus vaccine on Monday, as well as conditional approval from a European Medicines Agency. Moderna CEO, Stephanie Bancel, said on Monday the FDA is expected to consider the vaccine at a December 17th meeting. Really? So why, though? They're like, no. Our team's meeting is not scheduled for two more weeks, and I know you have the vaccine that may save the world, but sorry, it just doesn't fit into our schedule. And he hopes for approval in the next several weeks. Our goal is to start vaccinating Americans within 24 hours after the FDA gives approval. There were 30 severe cases in the study, and all 30 were on placebo? Wait, 30 severe cases of what? Oh, how does this work? Let's see if we'll be able to figure it out. I believe that in the first quarter of 2021, most people that want a vaccine that are at higher risk with older age, severe disease, healthcare worker, frontline worker should be able to get vaccinated. Second quarter, every American older than 18 years of age should be able to get vaccinated. Moderna said its vaccine efficacy? Oh, I don't even know. Guys, I don't know. I don't know medical words. 94% effective and 100% effective against severe coronavirus because there were no severe cases that took the vaccine. So I guess what they do is they stab a bunch of people with the vaccine and then they expose them to the virus. Is that really what they do? They stand them in front of a band at Texas A&M and say, listen to these trombones and see if you get coronavirus. And the ones who got the vaccine, only a couple of them got it, and it wasn't that severe. And then of those that got the placebo, they did get it. That's crazy. So there's just people. I mean, I assume that this is how it has to work. There's just people that are like, yep, I'll just risk it. Give me the virus. See, the chat saying some sources are saying you need two separate injections weeks apart to be vaccinated. Who wants to go twice? Yeah, I've heard that too. Here's what I'm wondering, right? So the virus is already, I don't know, 99% non-lethal. Probably not 99% harmless, right? The theory is that even if you get ill, there may be lasting damage to your lungs. I'm not sure that there's hard numbers on that. So we've got the virus that's 99% non-lethal. And what's the spread of the virus in the population? I don't know. How many cases are in the U.S.? 3 million? I don't even know right now. Let's do it. Current coronavirus count. I don't know. Oh, not 3 million. Okay, 13 million. So what's 300? What is it? What's the population of the U.S.? 350 million? Even if we do 300 million... 13. Uh-oh. My thing froze. 13. Let's call 14 million. So 4% of people, let's say 5% of people have been infected. But I guess what they're saying is like, okay, but that's just the confirmed cases. There's no way to know how many people have been infected. But we're saying, okay, we're very scared or reactionary toward 5% of the population having been infected, not even currently infected, just have been infected total, right? So that, but we're still wearing masks and we're still having to social distance and all of the rules are still in place, if not worse than ever, which by the way, some of them aren't worse than ever. Some places are still open and things are allegedly worse than ever, but it's like, well, we already did the shutdown, so we can't shut down again, which I kind of agree with, but I don't know, the logic is a little off. The other day I was thinking, remember when they all sent us $1,200? What was the point of that? Did that help anyone? It's like, thanks for the $1,200. Probably the extended unemployment helped people, but it's like, I just randomly got $1,200 and I kept my full-time job and nothing for no reason. Like, why did I get that? What was the point? And they didn't ever do it again. Like, maybe I don't know what they did. I don't know what the deal is with that. Anyway, what am I getting? Right. So we got a relatively low infection rate to the point where you'd get a test and find out. And then we have a vaccine that's like, okay, it's 95% effective. But if it's 95% effective, are they going to say, oh, it's only 95% effective, you still have to wear a mask? Like, what's the logic going to be like? Because everyone's logic is, okay, yeah, it is a low chance of catching it, right? But we're still wearing a mask just in case. But isn't it going to be still a low chance of catching it even with the vaccine? So are they going to say you still have to wear a mask just in case? I don't know, guys. I'm getting a little nervous about this. And then some people have gotten the coronavirus and still wear a mask. And I guess the argument there is like, we don't know if you can become reinfected. I think the confirmed cases of reinfections are very, very low. It would make way more sense if it was like, no, I got it. I don't have to wear a mask. But that's not how the case... So if we're saying that the chance of getting reinfected is unknown, but probably very low, which really is, I think, what they're saying, then the chance of getting a vaccine and getting infected is also low. I don't see where they're just going to say, I don't know. I'm getting nervous, guys. Because to say, okay, there's no more mask mandate is to basically say, we're okay accepting a small risk of transmission, which isn't what I'm hearing a lot. I'm hearing that people are not okay accepting a small risk of transmission. I guess it does happen because schools are open and they don't shut down schools just for a couple cases usually. And the NFL is open and the NFL hasn't shut down for a couple cases. The other thing I noticed about the NFL, there actually is a lot of players that keep getting coronavirus and they're out for a few weeks and then they come back. And I watch NFL chat rooms and forums and stuff, and never is the conversation about coronavirus like, oh my goodness, I hope he's going to be okay. I hope he doesn't die, right? It's always like, oh, he's out of the game? Really? And then it's just a given that he's going to be out for 2 weeks and he's going to be back. There's never a case of like, that I'm hearing, like, oh my goodness, Cam Newton has coronavirus. Oh, I'm so scared he might die. I don't know. This is so silly. Oh, here's a funny news story. COVID-19 vaccine sign hanging above I-40 in Durham worries doctors. Local doctors are concerned that a sign hanging over Interstate 40 in Durham, North Carolina, will create fear over the coronavirus vaccine. The first doses of the vaccine could be distributed to healthcare workers and vulnerable populations in the United States in less than 2 weeks. Wait, but that's before the meeting. Experts say the vaccine could be widely available by spring. This sign posted on the pedestrian bridge in Fayetteville Road over I-40 reads, COVID-19 vaccine makers are exempt from liability. This is a big sign. This sign is bigger than those signs that they say, welcome back from Iraq.
Durham is catching a lot of attention from drivers. This is the sign that's posted on the pedestrian bridge on Fayetteville Road. It reads, COVID-19 vaccine makers are exempt from liability. We took our questions to a local infectious disease doctor. He says drug makers are protected from liability of any potential injuries caused by their vaccines.
Okay, so it's a true statement, but it's framed strangely, just to take advantage of current events. Who would do such a thing? But that is a huge sign. Each of those words is a full-on banner. So did they order each sign separately? Like, did they go to halfpricebanners.com and just send them each word? COVID-19 vaccine makers exempt from liability. And then Half Price Banners was like, legit. I'm going to print it. Remember back when I was like, how did this Trump guy get this beautiful sign for his van that had Hillary Clinton in the crosshairs?
If we find out 3 years from now that it turns your hair purple, you're not going to be able to sue Pfizer or Moderna because you now have purple hair. Like, that is not going to be able to happen. This is all done in somewhat good faith that these companies are moving forward. They're taking some chances. They're taking some risks.
UNC's Dr. David Wall says he is concerned the sign could cause fear in people who are skeptical in taking the vaccine.
Oh, my. Imagine what happens if this thing is rushed through and it's going okay for a month, but then in month two, they're like, oh, we're noticing some side effects that we did not expect. We're going to have to stop vaccinating everyone. We're going to be doing this forever. This is real bad. Is everyone scared? Governor Newsom apologizes for attending a large gathering in Napa. This was the governor of California. He goes on the TV, as all the governors are doing, and going, don't travel for Thanksgiving. Right? It's kind of funny how all these high-ranking rich people are going on TVs and going, we're all in this together. Don't you worry. And then they go back to their huge house and their regular paycheck, and they're like, all in this together.
On the minimized mixing, I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge something just before we go into the Q&A. And that is very soberly acknowledged that a few weeks ago, I was asked to go to a friend's 50th birthday. My wife and I, a friend that I've known for almost 20 years and a friend that had, well, put a lot of time and energy into his 50th birthday. It was in Napa, which was in the orange status, relatively loose compared to some other counties. It was to be an outdoor restaurant, and we started.
So I'm living in privileged New Hampshire, where we don't have counties that have colors. So what's happening in other parts of the country, I guess, are that different counties get different colors, and based on your color, you're allowed to do different things. I understand the purpose, right? It's supposed to be keeping everything safe based on the counts. It's also a little, overbearing and somewhat dystopian, right? Okay, this district has these restrictions. This district has these restrictions. Anyway, so the governor is explaining why his friend's 50th birthday was, you know, so important to go to because he put so much work into it.
Status, relatively loose compared to some other counties. It was to be an outdoor restaurant, and we started the, well, the program started at 4 o'clock. It was one of those early reservations. I got there a little bit late at 4:30. And as soon as I sat down at the larger table, I realized it was a little larger group than I had anticipated. And I made a bad mistake. Instead of sitting down, I should have stood up and walked back, got in my car, and drove back to my house. Instead, I chose to sit there with my wife and a number of other couples that were outside the household. And you can quibble about the guidelines, et cetera, but the spirit of what I'm preaching all the time was contradicted, and I got to own that. And so I want to apologize to you because I need to preach and practice, not just preach and not practice. And I've done my best to do that. We're all human. We all fall short sometimes. We've been out, and I think for three times since, in fact, I know it's been three times because I remember all of
good
those
story.
Dinners very, very vividly. Since February, just three times.
So that's what's going on in other parts, I guess. People shaming their constituents for traveling and going out, and then they're caught traveling or going out. And do I think it's a bad idea for a governor to go out? I don't really care, but that's kind of funny when that happens, I guess, right? I was leaving for work the other day, and I'm on a main road, and I was trying to take a right onto the highway to just head to work, and the short bus was picking up people next door. And I was like, oh, this is annoying. The bus is in the way. And then a guy jumps out of his truck behind the school bus and like honks and yells and is like, what's going on? Pull over. Get out of the way. What? It's like this man's never seen a school bus before. Does school buses are basically gods of the road. They are huge devices that whenever the driver, some retired old lady, feels like it, she can stop traffic in every direction. A school bus violation is like one level below drunk driving or something. I don't know if that's the case, but you can't go past that stop sign. They can pull over on a road, even though they're picking up kids on the right side of the road. Their little flag stop sign goes out, and the left side of the road has to legally stop. I don't know. You wouldn't want to risk a kid's life sprinting into their... I don't know. Right? Safety. Anyway, nothing happened to this guy, but I thought it was hilarious. I think the bus just kept sitting there to make him even more mad. I've never seen a man yell at a school bus. I thought everyone just accepted that they were the boss, and if the school bus wants to keep you there for half an hour, well, safety. I don't know. If subways were designed these days, they would never be allowed. I've always said this on the show. You go to a subway, and this subway train comes in at 80 miles an hour, speeding past this platform that has no rails, and then slams on the brakes and stops. And hopefully you get in before that conductor closes the doors again and speeds off to the next ramp. And hopefully no one's holding their head over the ramp. Hopefully nobody tripped onto the rails at the wrong time. And the first time you see something like that, you're like, oh my goodness, that's insane. Someone could just get smashed by that thing. If you're not paying attention and you trip onto the rails, you're a dead man. And subway accidents are relatively low, but looking at it, it looks like the scariest, most dangerous thing that could exist. What I'm saying is get that stupid stop sign off the bus if you're picking up kids in the other direction. If they were going to run into the road and get smushed, well, Austin police officer suspended for 10 days after using gay to describe a suspect. This is a story I just pulled up. According to a memo from the city of Austin obtained by CBS, Officer Ryan Sowerin violated the Civil Service Commission Rule 10 on May 30th. This was a while ago, but he just got suspended. He was assigned to the Mobile Field Force at the police department's headquarters due to many protesters outside of the building. Standing on the front steps of the building, Sowerin's body-worn camera recorded as he referred to a protester as "that gay dude with the short shorts and the black shirt." The protester in question allegedly had a laser pointer that they were using to shine a beam of light on the Air Force One helicopter, which is potentially dangerous and could be seen as a criminal act. After being interviewed by the Internal Affairs, the officer admitted to having described the protester as a gay individual. According to the memo, he explained that his reasoning for using the description was because if there was a male in feminine clothing, I would describe that individual as gay in order for my fellow officers to identify the individual. The memo states that the officer believed that the description was accurate to use in this case, but agreed that there were better descriptors that could have been used and concluded the interview by stating he did not feel like he had violated the orders. He's been suspended for about a week and a half. That's pretty funny. Hey, it's that gay guy over there. I don't know. What if the guy was like, I'm gay and I'm shining this laser pointer? Or is it because he just assumed, because of the man's clothing, and you're just not allowed to say that? I mean, I logically agree that it's a leap to make that assumption. Maybe the man was not gay. Maybe the man was a bi-man. Maybe he could be anything, right? Seems like low on the things that we should be suspending officers over. Man arrested over threat to Schumer. Man arrested over threat to Schumer and a vow to blow up the FBI. This is the story I just skipped, and I've decided to go back to it. On Sunday, as votes were still being tallied in one of the most hotly contested elections in United States history, Brian Majorana took to social media with a dark and violent message, prosecutors say. I love it when we get social media arrests. It's the funniest. Because anyone on social media could be, you could be 16 beers in and write on Facebook, I hate Biden, I'm going to kill him. Citing the anti-government novel The Turner Diaries, in which Jews and non-whites were exterminated. I have not heard of this. Wait, that seems really bad to say. I've heard of the name, but I'm not actually sure what it is. Is it nonfiction? Is it fiction? I don't even know. Mr. Majorana wrote that he wanted to blow up an FBI building and made an anti-Semitic reference to the Jew senator from New York, a veiled threat apparently directed at Senator Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader. In an early morning raid Tuesday, the authorities arrested Mr. Majorana, 54, at his house. Later in the day, he was charged in court with making threatening interstate communications. Oh my goodness. For saying Jew senator from New York and he was going to blow up an FBI building on Facebook. He basically got raided and arrested. He was brought before a magistrate judge in Brooklyn Federal Court who ordered that he be detained pending a bail hearing. Prosecutors stated that starting in September, the suspect had used social media platform to post multiple threats to kill protesters, politicians, and law enforcement officers. Okay. All right. It goes back a little further. The prosecutors did not specify which online platform Mr. Majorana used. His Facebook page is topped with the hashtag All Lives Matter and makes clear that he supports President Trump. But wait, why would he want to kill law enforcement officers if he's an All Lives Matter? But it shows no sign of violent messages. The Department of Justice will not stand idly by when people like the defendant allegedly threaten to kill elected officials, lawful protesters, and law enforcement simply because of animus toward the outcome of an election. Americans have a constitutional right to voice their opinions, but this office will not tolerate violence or threats of violence used to intimidate others with whom they disagree. All right, we should look up this guy and see if there's any updates, because I didn't do that before the show. Oh, wow, we do have an update. White supremacist. Why would they use that title? Let's find out. White supremacist pleads not guilty to post-election death threats against Schumer and Democrats. Oh, dear. during a brief and remote proceeding, registered sex offender. Oh, goodness, this guy's getting way worse. Okay, we don't like this guy anymore. During a brief and remote proceeding, registered sex offender Brian Majorana, 54, waived his right to be physically present due to the coronavirus, as well as a public reading of his indictment charging him with being a felon in possession of a firearm and ammunition when transmitting threats to injure. We went over it fully the other day. He says his indictment makes for a chilling reading. Yikes, we should have read this. I'm going to read this on the next show. Let's see. On or about, or maybe I'll just read it now, on or about April, or as November 8th, 2020. I love when indictments say on or about. It's very legally, right? On or about this date, a thing did a thing, right? Is it like 99% of the time it's on that date and they just say on or about just in case they messed up so they can't throw it out because they got the wrong date in there? Let's see. The defendant did knowingly and willfully transmit in interstate and foreign commerce using an internet-based electronic communication service, one or more electronic communications containing threats to injure a person. To wit, soapbox ballot box that was fraudulently stolen from us, now cartridge box. The time has now passed for patriots to stop being on the defensive. Defensive action is a position of weakness. We must take offensive action starting now. All of you know what that is. As the Jew senator from Jew York said, nothing is off the table. The Turner Diaries must come to life. We blow up the FBI building for real. All the alphabet agencies' assassination will become the new normal now that the electoral process is finished. All right, thinking people need to hit the streets while these scumbags are celebrating and start blowing them away. Yikes! Okay, so, So that's what you shouldn't write, okay? It wasn't 16 beers in and he said, I hate Biden and I'm going to kill him. That was a little more detailed. Do not write that. That was like, yeah, don't write that. Okay, so now we know what not to do. There's the indictment for that guy. And apparently, according to this headline, he's a white supremacist. I don't know. I mean, not that I don't know, but it's like that term is thrown around in headlines a lot, right? And maybe it does fit. What if you only think that whites are a little more supreme? And you're like, eh, I'm a white, kind of, I don't know. I'm not even sure what the term would be. Arkansas man receives a racist letter about his Black Santa decorations. Neighbors are rallying together to make sure one man feels at home despite a racist letter about his Christmas decorations. From last week, Chris Kennedy has lived in his Lakewood home in North Little Rock for 3 years. But on Tuesday afternoon, he received a letter in the mail that he never expected to receive. I started to read, and of course, the first word that sticks out is Negro, he said about the letter. Here's the letter in full. I have not read this. I just linked this on the show notes, and this is why this show is so bad this week, because I really didn't prep very much. I didn't read stuff or do my normal stuff. I just linked them in. Please, here's the letter. Please remove your Negro Santa Claus yard decoration. You should not try to deceive children into believing that I am a Negro. I am a Caucasian white man to you and have been for the past 600 years. Your being jealous of my race is no excuse for your dishonesty. Besides that, you're making yourself the laughing stock of the neighborhood. The letter also included a photo of a white Santa with two thumbs down. Oh my, that's hilarious. Kennedy said the letter was sent through the mail via USPS. All right, we have to watch the video. Wait, there's two videos.
And the first word that, of course, sticks out is Negro.
Chris Kennedy has lived in this Lakewood home for 3 years. Tuesday afternoon, he received a letter in the mail.
Went and grabbed my phone and basically recorded me reading it.
Please remove your Negro Santa Claus yard decoration. You should not try to deceive children into believing that I am a Negro. I am a Caucasian, parentheses, white man to you. I have been for the past 600 years. Your being jealous of my race is no excuse for your dishonesty. Besides that, you are
making
yourself the laughing stock of the neighborhood.
Here's the thing about Santa. You can't see him. He's in a full-on suit. Santa's red, right? He's in a full-on suit. He's got a hat, he has gloves, and he has an enormous beard. There's only one part of the Santa skin that you can even see. It's just above his eye, above his cheekbones, to his forehead, which ironically is the only part of any human you can see these days. But point is, whoever's offended by Negro Santa or is just trolling to make the news, right? I wonder, if you just started sending offensive letters to any house with a darker-skinned Santa, would you tangentially make the news because the news would come over going, oh, what a racist community? Anyway, you can barely even tell. I would never even notice, which, by the way, I don't notice anyway. If I see a Santa, I've never made a mental note of if it's a black or a white Santa. I'm just like, oh, it's just Santa. It's just a decoration. Because I don't know. I don't think Santa's real.
The letter, also including a photo of a white Santa with two thumbs down.
It was in the mail. It was sent via you.
All right, we already got all that. Here's another. Oh, it's the same video. All right, let's skip ahead. Is there anything? Oh, wait, it's interviews with people on the street.
We don't want the people who wrote that letter in the neighborhood. That's what we do not want.
Other neighbors agree.
It's done my heart good to see his displays for the last 3 years, and especially given who he lives next to. And we just, I hate it that he's having to, that their family's having to go through that. But we're really, we've been praying for him.
One neighbor even left this sign.
Someone came and dropped that off last night. People have dropped off cookies and notes, and I've gotten messages on Facebook.
Kennedy does have a message for the person who left the letter.
If I'm a laughingstock by trying to provide joy to other families, children down the street going to school, by having out a Santa Claus and decorating for Christmas, so be it.
Jay Jackson, THV 11 News.
Considering who he lives next to, are they saying that he lives next to a horrible white supremacist? So I was at Cantwell's house as it was getting emptied into the road. Don't ask me why or how, but I was, and I got some free stuff out of the deal. But anyway, as it was getting emptied, some people came over, and they were like, oh, is that his house? Is it getting emptied out? And I was like, I think it is. And they asked someone else there, he's not coming back? Someone else said, he's in federal prison and he may be there for a while. And they were like, oh, thank goodness. I saw it getting emptied out and I didn't want to get my hopes up until I came over here and checked. You've made my day. And she walked away. Because I guess they don't like living next to a Cantwell, right? Final story! Chat says, oh crap, Cantwell's in prison now. Yeah, that was big news. I was surprised at how many people on Reddit had heard about Cantwell living down the street from me, and he's now in federal prison for a completely unrelated case to the riots that he was originally arrested at. Final story. Missing Port Canaveral boater found clinging to capsized boat 86 miles offshore. Fortunately, crew members aboard the 225-foot container ship Angeles spotted B and rescued him about 11 a.m. B departed Cape Canaveral at Port Canaveral about 4 p.m. Friday aboard Stingray, his 32-foot Sea Ray, but he did not return. He was reported missing shortly before noon Saturday by a marina member who told Coast Guard officials he typically does not stay out overnight in his boat. B's boat became disabled at sea because of a mechanical issue. He said at about midnight Saturday, he was awakened from sleep because his crippled craft was taking on water in the darkness and sinking. Can you imagine? Okay, your engine goes out, you're sleeping, and then all of a sudden you wake up, you're like, well, I'm already kind of screwed, and then you wake up and your boat's sinking, and you're like, okay, well, this just makes the day way worse. When the Angelus approached Sunday morning, B took off his shirt and waved it around to attract attention. The U.S. Coast Guard personnel, including a C-130 Hercules aircraft crew, had searched for B and his boat Sunday morning across a large area offshore. It's an amazing story. We're just very thankful for the motor vessel Angelus and their entire crew for keeping a sharp lookout. All right, here's a video of him.
This is very bad.
A missing boater at sea survives to tell the tale. After a dramatic rescue today, he finally returned to land.
Yeah, that 62-year-old boater was rescued off the coast of Port Canaveral. He was found clinging to his sinking boat.
An amazing story here. NBC6 Marissa Bagg has it.
Waterlogged and weathered, but eternally grateful, Stuart B. climbed aboard the container ship Sunday that saved his life. The 62-year-old spent 30 hours clinging to the bow of his nearly sunk boat. It's a wonder the ship's crew even spotted him.
We just rescued one person from a capsizing boat.
I can't even put into words how shocking it is that they saw him out there on that water, 86 miles from shore.
That is crazy.
Stuart admits he didn't think he was going to make it. He was exhausted.
That ocean is big. Determined. You go out there and you look over it and it's like, yeah, if I fell in, there's no finding me, right? Yeah, the ocean is very large, so you will probably never find Osama bin Laden out there. Not even probably. We don't know where it is. If he was even killed in the first place, right, everyone? Speaking of getting rescued, I did just Google Holly Courtier, the woman who was allegedly lost in the Zion National Park, and there's no updates. Here, let me try again. Scam. Sister of hiker Holly Courtier slams Washington County surgeon over hoax suggestions. This is a month and a half ago at this point, though. She said the suggestions about her survival tale were a hoax are blown way out of proportion. There are not holes in the story. There are no discrepancies. This just got blown out of proportion. Blah, 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 blah. And then it recaps the story that we covered a month and a half ago. So I was hoping that they were going to search into it and be like, no, she wasn't really lost, and that we'd get an update. But just like most things in the news, you see them for a split second, you go, wow, that's interesting. You talk about it at work with a guy. Did you hear about that lady who was lost in the woods and maybe she wasn't lost? I don't know. And then you never follow up, never find anything out, and can't figure it out. So I don't know. Guess the life is just mostly ends that you think will end, and then they don't ever end. you never find what you want, which is the closure of the story. Anyway, it has been News with Nick. Thanks for coming to the show. Head on over to newswithnick.com and please subscribe. And that's it. I don't know. Write in your news stories if you have ideas for stuff you want covered at the contact form or just the email show@newswithnick.com or nick@newswithnick.com will also work. Both will work. And is there anything else to talk about? Oh, yes, Candyman is our new number one fan. He's actually now part owner of the show. We've sold out to him, and we'll be doing the new show. We're going to be setting up a studio in the new Florida Candy Factory when it is ours, and it will actually just become the News with Nick studio, and we're actually going to take out all of the candy machines and trade them in for just lights and makeup and set up a streaming operation that is top notch. And it's just going to be an entire warehouse with just one desk right in the middle to do the show. Okay, newswithnick.com. Bye. Thanks for coming.